there are people who are suffering because their leaders are taking resources which should be shared out amongst those country's citizens.
World Leaders Wealth Uncovered. It's Wednesday, October 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, California welcomes Afghan refugees. Massive oil spill cleanup. Sterilizing disease-carrying mosquitoes. Virtual medicine. Real-life benefits. Supersonic air travel comeback. It's all on today's VOA Asia. World leaders, politicians, and pop stars are among thousands of individuals revealed to be concealing huge wealth through a network of anonymous companies. The revelations, known as the Pandora Papers, are part of a huge leak of almost 12 million files from the archives of several legal firms, which shed light on the secret world of offshore finance. Henry Ridgewell reports.
Among the most startling revelations in the Pandora Papers is the hidden wealth of the president of Azerbaijan, Ilham Aliyev, and his family. The leaks show the Aliyev family and their associates traded property in Britain worth $544 million over the past 15 years. Rachel Davies Tecker is with the anti-corruption campaign group Transparency International.
Since this family took power in 1993, they have taken control of many of the country's vital industries and its natural resources and used that to amass wealth. And this has been done at the expense of the people of that country. These are not events without harm to people. There are people who are suffering because their leaders are taking resources which should be shared out amongst those country citizens.
The leaked documents show that King Abdullah of Jordan built a secret property empire in the United States and Britain worth more than $100 million. Speaking Monday, Abdullah rejected claims he had tried to conceal his wealth. King Abdullah said, "There is nothing I have to hide from anyone, but we are stronger than this, and this is not the first time Jordan gets targeted." Pakistani cabinet ministers and their families, close allies of Prime Minister Imran Khan, are revealed to own offshore companies worth millions of dollars. Khan said they would be investigated. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš used anonymous offshore companies to finance the purchase of a $22 million property in France. Babiš is competing in a general election this week. In a TV debate Sunday, he defended his actions. The Czech Prime Minister said the money was sent out of a Czech bank. The money was taxed. It was my money, and it returned back to the Czech Republic. It's revealed that Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta and six members of his family are linked to over a dozen offshore companies, one with assets worth over $30 million. There is no evidence that the Kenyatta family stole any state assets. Much of the activity revealed by the Pandora Papers, including the use of offshore companies, is legal. There is one thread that is common to many of the revelations: London. The British capital and the territories linked to it, such as the British Virgin Islands, offer a hidden network of legal structures designed to conceal who really owns the money, says Davies Tecker.
You can buy UK property anonymously if you use a company that's registered and formed in an overseas territory where there is currently secrecy. We also have luxury services on offer to the global elite. And unfortunately, we have a concerning amount of professionals, accountants, lawyers, estate agents, who are happy to help corrupt and criminal actors launder and hide and manage their wealth.
Britain's ruling Conservative Party has become embroiled in the accusations after the leaks revealed party donors were linked to alleged corruption. Chancellor Rishi Sunak Monday denied that London's reputation on tax avoidance was shameful and said the government's track record on tackling global corruption was strong. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOANews.com website. A former Facebook data scientist has told U.S. lawmakers that the social network giant's products harm children and fuel polarization in the U.S., while its executives refuse to change because they elevate profits over safety. And she laid responsibility with the company's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Frances Haugen accused the company of being aware of apparent harm to some teens from Instagram and being dishonest in its public fight against hate and misinformation. Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy, Haugen said. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. North Korea hints it's ready to talk, just not with the U.S. Malaysia warns Myanmar to cooperate with envoy or no summit. Taiwan says China sends more fighter jets into its air defense zone. U.S. resumes Afghan refugee flights after measles shots. At 24, a Palestinian photographer is youngest winner of journalism award. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia on this Wednesday. California is set to accept 5,000 refugees from Afghanistan, and the state is getting prepared. Angelina Bagdasarin has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
She's referred to as the voice of Afghanistan. Ostad Farida Mawash uses her singing voice to tell the world about the suffering of her people.
My songs were heard on five continents. I saw women who have equal rights with men. And what is happening now when the Taliban came to power in Afghanistan? They practically buried the women alive there.
She gave concerts in support of Afghan children, fought for the rights of Afghan women, and still does it to this day. Mawash and her family left Afghanistan as refugees 3 decades ago and moved to California. Today, she sees more Afghans in California, and the state is preparing to receive another 5,000 refugees from Afghanistan, where the Taliban are back in power.
So all the things that you saw in the 90s, but worse, are happening now. Women can't go to school. You know, they can't wear what they want. Their jobs are being taken away from them.
Those who manage to leave Afghanistan will face challenges in America, say activists. But they are doing what they can to make adaptation easier for the new refugees.
If somebody comes here and they don't know anybody, they don't know the language, they don't know how the system works, it's very easy to get lost in the system here. And so I think it's the job of the community and all the people that live in a city to come together and help those people that need it the most.
The refugees are expected to arrive in California in the coming weeks.
We have a variety of different efforts. We have a lot of advocacy efforts on behalf of Afghan refugees. We want to make sure that Afghan refugees that come here have a legal pathway to success here in America, as well as are able to integrate successfully into American society.
Charity organizations, together with local authorities, are dealing with accommodation, while locals are doing what they can to make the newcomers feel as comfortable as possible. Such collection centers for humanitarian help are open these days throughout California.
We ask for like a lot of the home supplies, hygiene products, feminine products, bedding, pots and pans. We actually just ask for a lot of the things that we thought would be helpful when you are resettling into a new home that you might not have access to right away.
The majority of Afghan refugees are being allowed in the country under humanitarian grounds. They are granted temporary status and can stay in the U.S. for 2 years, have a right to work, and receive some state benefits. They may also apply to renew their humanitarian status when it is set to expire. The Afghan community in California is helping new arrivals find attorneys.
They have to prove that, number one, they're here for a very specific purpose and temporarily, and that they would either return to their country of origin, which is Afghanistan, or that they have another legal route that is already available for them to pursue.
A small group of Afghans with an SIV or special immigrant visa are granted permanent U.S. residence and can apply for citizenship. Frangelina Bogdasaryan in Los Angeles, California. Anna Rice, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. Still to come on VOA Asia, finding the source of a massive oil spill off California's coast. Happening now in Asia, newly elected Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida held his first phone call Tuesday with a foreign leader, U.S. President Joe Biden. Kishida was formally elected by Japan's parliament Monday to replace Yoshihide Suga, who resigned after only 1 year in office. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues on this Wednesday, October 6th. Workers continue to clean up a massive oil spill off the coast of California as divers try to learn why an underwater pipeline started leaking late last week. Mike O'Sullivan reports from Los Angeles.
The breach discovered early Saturday released at least 3,000 barrels or 480,000 liters of oil over more than 25 kilometers of coastline. Near Huntington Beach and Newport Beach, in a coastal area south of Los Angeles, popular with surfers. Sunday, an oil company executive said the cause of the pipeline break was unknown.
We currently have divers on location at the potential source site. We are investigating the source and potential cause of this incident.
He said the remaining oil in the pipeline is being suctioned out. While crews work offshore, volunteers help on the beach.
Well, I'm picking this up and then I'm going to take it to a disposal center as much as I can carry right now.
Wildlife is threatened, as it was 6 years ago when California's last major oil spill further north off Santa Barbara coated ocean birds with oil.
I still can't believe here we are in 2021 and this is happening.
It's yet another problem in a difficult year.
Right when we're starting to come out of COVID, now this happens to us here.
California, like many other U.S. states, is moving toward renewable energy. But an activist with an environmental group says it's not happening fast enough.
We don't need this dirty energy. We already have the technology to go 100% renewable energy, and we're still drilling for oil.
Beaches in the affected areas could be closed for months as the cleanup continues. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The top U.S. trade negotiator said China is failing to live up to its trade commitments from last year and that Washington would soon have frank conversations with Beijing. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia. Australia's Prime Minister says foreign tourists won't be welcome back until at least next year. Prime Minister Scott Morrison outlined plans Tuesday for lifting some of the toughest and longest COVID-19 travel restrictions imposed by any democracy. The country will prioritize the return of skilled migrants and students after it hits Morrison's vaccination benchmark for reopening its external borders. The news comes just days after Morrison announced plans to allow vaccinated citizens and permanent residents to fly overseas from November for the first time since March 2020. The severe travel restrictions have trapped most Australians at home and kept most foreigners out and have led to the lowest level of immigration since World War II. Meanwhile, researchers in Australia have shown a bacteria can sterilize and eradicate a disease-carrying mosquito that is responsible for spreading dengue, yellow fever, and Zika. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
3 million male Aedes aegypti, or yellow fever mosquitoes, were released in the trial at three sites in northern Queensland state. They were reared at James Cook University in Cairns and sterilised with a naturally occurring bacteria called Wolbachia. Researchers say the bacteria appears to have changed part of the male insect's reproductive biology, so that female mosquitoes that mate with them lay eggs that don't hatch. The flying insects were released over a 20-week period in 2018. Mosquito numbers subsequently fell by more than 80%. When scientists returned the following year, they found one of the trial areas had almost no mosquitoes. Nigel Beebe is an associate professor at the University of Queensland and a research scientist at the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, or CSIRO. He hopes the sterilisation method will eventually be used in developing countries.
We wanted to show in a developed country that the technology was robust. We could mass rear mosquitoes. It's not very expensive to mass rear mosquitoes. And it's really the separation of the males and the females.
The Australian team plans to use a similar technique to suppress the virus-spreading Asian tiger mosquito that's become established in the Torres Strait in northern Australia.
At the moment, we have to use relatively sophisticated technology to do that, but we are now trying to build something that is much more robust and can be used in tropical countries and will be relatively cheap to actually be able to separate the males from the females. The mass rearing of the mosquitoes is actually pretty cheap to do. So I think absolutely we have application in developing countries.
Researchers elsewhere are looking at ways to use sterile male mosquitoes to curb the spread of malaria. But Associate Professor Beebe has said it was a complicated challenge. More than 40% of people worldwide suffer from mosquito-borne diseases. The Australian team hopes its environmentally friendly mosquito control method will help tackle current and future outbreaks of dengue and other debilitating diseases. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, the international rights advocacy group Amnesty International has accused Afghanistan's ruling Taliban of unlawfully killing 13 members of the ethnic Hazara minority community on August 30th. 2 weeks after the Islamist group seized control of the war-ravaged country. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the pandemic is changing how many of us access healthcare. In the United States and elsewhere, studies show that virtual medical appointments are effective, help patients manage their care, and keep people out of hospitals. More from VOA's Carol Pearson.
When Loveth Metaboba's baby had diarrhea, she had a video chat with a doctor near her home in Abuja, Nigeria. One effect of the pandemic is that it has radically and quickly changed how healthcare providers care for their patients in rich and poor countries alike. Telemedicine is even being used in two remote Himalayan areas of India.
Most of the time of the year, these are cut off from the rest of the world because of the heavy snowfall.
With telemedicine, patients can connect with specialists in outpatient departments, or OPDs, and even emergency departments at hospitals in major cities.
We have been able to cater to about 3,000 consultations in OPD consultations, and more than 60 tele-emergencies have been stabilized at these two locations.
In the U.S., telemedicine appointments reduced the risk of further illness for some children by 99%, according to a study by the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston. The study showed that telemedicine prevented at-risk children from being exposed to COVID-19 and other viruses they might encounter outside their homes. In rural parts of the U.S., people with opioid addictions are often underserved. There are not enough clinics or treatment centers. A University of Maryland study shows telemedicine was as effective as meeting in person at a treatment clinic. Telemedicine has also provided clinicians with insight they didn't have before the pandemic, especially in treating U.S. troops with mental health issues.
One of the benefits I think we've learned and the pandemic has really reinforced is that virtual care or telehealth is an excellent way to engage individuals. And from a rehabilitation perspective, it's so important for providers to be able to see how someone functions in their home or in their community rather than in the clinic or in the hospital.
Additionally, telemedicine has proven to get more men to see a doctor. A survey by Cleveland Clinic showed that men are more comfortable with virtual visits than with face-to-face appointments.
Many of the issues that men develop with age are intimate in nature and might pertain to sexual or urinary dysfunction. So I think that the virtual visit allows them to feel like it's a little bit more of a private conversation.
Virtual visits can stop serious conditions from becoming deadly.
Erectile dysfunction can actually be the first sign of cardiovascular disease. Urinary issues can sometimes be the first sign of diabetes or sleep apnea. So even some of these men's health issues that may be more quality of life related, get them checked out. We can often help you get back to normal function and also make sure that there's not anything more serious going on.
With telemedicine, patients don't have to take as much time off work. It reduces or eliminates the cost of travel, which can be expensive, especially in developing countries where people often travel long distances to a clinic or hospital. Telemedicine helps people see doctors they might not normally have had access to. And finally, telemedicine could improve health worldwide and reduce poverty by saving time and reducing medical costs. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Finally on VOA Asia, a major U.S. airline recently partnered with an American aerospace company to bring back supersonic air travel that they say will be quieter, more sustainable, and less expensive than in the past. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
When the Concorde supersonic airplane first appeared on the scene in the 1970s, it was considered a technological marvel. The planes, a joint Anglo-French venture, traveled at more than twice the speed of sound, cutting transatlantic flight times by half. When they were retired in 2003, mainly due to unsustainable operational costs and complaints about the thunderous sonic boom, nothing took their place. Until now. U.S.-based United Airlines has partnered with Boom Supersonic Aerospace Company of Denver, Colorado, to purchase 15 supersonic aircraft with an option for more. Boom's Overture aircraft will also cut transatlantic flying time by 50%, but will be quieter than the Concorde and more sustainable, the firm says. Blake Scholl is founder and CEO of Boom Supersonic. He spoke with VOA over Skype.
We have computer optimization techniques, so we can design a far more efficient aerodynamic shape versus having to iterate slowly through wind tunnels. And we've had complete re-architecture of how jet engines work. I want to get to the point where a supersonic ticket is actually cheaper than subsonic.
Michael Leskinen is president of United Airlines Ventures. He told VOA in an interview over Zoom that the time for a commercial supersonic aircraft is now.
The Concorde failed not because it wasn't technically feasible, it failed because of the cost. But we think this is going to be 75% less costly than operating the Concorde.
The Overture aircraft will run on 100% sustainable aviation fuel. Blake Scholl.
Which means that supersonic flight's going to be 100% carbon neutral. Effectively, we're taking carbon out of the atmosphere, converting it into jet fuel, and then when we burn it in the airplane, it just goes right back where it came from.
While supersonic flight is a technological achievement, the companies say it's really about saving people time.
Because ultimately, it's about being on the ground, on the planet, with people who matter, not about what happens in the sky.
Boom is planning to build and deliver its planes to United by the end of the decade. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Thank you for listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Amy Hybels, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Enjoy your day, and goodbye for now.